Today, Baruch Shechianu, Yimanu V'Gyanu L'Zman Hazeh, we begin the Sefer Gvuras Hashem, Sefer of the Maral, that is dedicated to the issues surrounding Yetzias Mitzrayim. As it writes in the Sharblad, as it writes in the opening page, Mesaper Sagvurois Asher Poal Kairei Hadaris B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim L'Cheirus. It tells the Gvurois, the strength, that the Kairei Hadaris, that is the way of referring to the Rabbanu Shalom, the one who anticipated the generations when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim to freedom, Koyach Masav, the power of his actions, Vesakairis, and the various events, Imraisav, Amores, Tahiris, Mipninim, Upaz, Yukaris, Vesayameim, Einayim, Iris. So poetically continues. But it's all around the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Gvurais refers to. And as we'll see, Mirat Hashem, it's part of this series, which included the Netzach Yisrael about Golus and Geula, the Tiferes Yisrael about Torah. And as we'll see, Mirat Hashem, when we get to the third Hakdama, the third introduction, yes, you heard me right, the third introduction which the Maral provides to the Sefer, he explains that this series is built around the Pasuk, which we say, a Pasuk which is the enumeration of the Sfirais, and which is L'chash, Hagdula, V'Agivura, V'Tiferes, V'Hanetzach, V'Hahoid. And Maral really maybe intended to have more Sforim in the series, or maybe there were more Sforim in the series that we just don't see, don't know. However, the reality is that this is the Sefer Gevurais Hashem, the first one we have in the series. We have Tiferes, Netzach as well. Okay, now what we're going to try to do, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Maral wrote three introductions to the Sefer. The first introduction is an explanation to the beginning our discussion of the greatness of Hashem with Yetzias Mitzrayim. We'll Mirat Hashem talk about it some more. You'll understand what that means a little bit more as we go along. But that's what the first introduction is dedicated to. If you don't mind, crack the door drops, if you don't mind. The second introduction is actually a major polemic which the Maral has, a major argument which the Maral has, which he comes back to in various places. A special note is in the fifth perek of Pirkei Avos, where the Maral takes issue with the limitations on the miraculous, which he understood as being the opinion of certain others, like the Rambam, and very differently the Ralbag. And it's actually quite a lengthy essay where he speaks about their attitude towards sort of like a reductionism of the Nisim of the miracles. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, is telling the story of miracles. So that's a rather lengthy one. And the third introduction is what we alluded to before, which is sort of an introduction to the structure of Hagdula V'Agvura V'Tiferes. Mirat Hashem, I would like to learn with you the three introductions, because these are you know, serious introductions and pieces of the Maral's thought. My goal for today is actually to learn with you the first introduction, and together with that, learn with you the first perek of the Gvuras, which is brief. Many of the prakim of the Gvuras are brief, many of them are not so brief. Structured very interestingly, the Sefer will see more as we get into it. But I think the first introduction goes well with the first perek. And it's really a framework for looking again at beginning our discussion of the greatness of Hashem, of Gevurais Hashem, of the greatness of Hashem, when we start talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the phrase Gevurais Hashem, right, when we say Lecha Hashem Hagdula V'Hagevura, Hashem has the Gevura, so, okay, Hashem has the Gvura, that means it's Gvuras Hashem. And some of you may recall that when Rabbi Hartman was with us for the Siyum, I think, perhaps it was for the Siyum on the Tiferes Yisrael, but I'm not sure. You know, he noted a very interesting thing, which is that the Maral called the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. And he called another sefer Netzach Yisrael. Even though it says to you Hashem is the Gedula, the Gevura, the Tiferes, and the Netzach. So maybe it should have been called Tiferes Hashem. Maybe it should have been called Netzach Hashem. And he discussed it. I think part of the answer is a simple one, which is that you don't find anywhere a phrase Netzach Hashem. It would just be implied from saying to you Hashem is the Netzach, so then we'd say Netzach Hashem. But there is a phrase, a biblical phrase, called Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. There's a phrase, a biblical phrase, called Tiferes Yisrael. Hishlich mishamayim eretz Tiferes Yisrael. Right? It's a pasuk in Eicha. However, right, Gevurais, there isn't a phrase Gevurais Yisrael unless it's you're singing the Hanukkah song. Yimaleh Gevurot Yisrael. Right there you have that expression. But as far as I know, there's no pasuk which says the expression Gevurais Yisrael. But there is a pasuk which says Gevuras Hashem. And in fact, when do we say L'cha Hashem Agdula V'Agvura? When are we most familiar with it? From the end of Anim Zmirais. And what's the penultimate line there of it? What do we have there in that tefillah? Mi imalel givurais Hashem yashmi akol tehilasa. Right? Who will express the givurais Hashem? Right, the strength of Hashem, Yashmiya will make heard kol tilasai. So that's where we find the expression, right, of Gevurais Hashem. Right, that's where we find the expression of Gevurais Hashem. Right, after L'cha Hashem Agdula, we say Mi Malik. I say L'cha Hashem is the penultimate. Mi Malik Hashem is the end. Who speaks of the Gevurais Hashem? So that's the expression. That's where this expression Gevurais Hashem and this title comes from. And that line, that's a pasuk, is who can express Gevurais Hashem? Who can express the greatness of Hashem? The difficulty of sometimes being able to capture that and do that is what we're going to be talking about today. Okay, in the first parak of the Maral is going to ask a very simple, beautiful question. In this Mi Imalel Gevurais Hashem, you know, the Gemara discusses this. It says Mi Imalel Gevurais Hashem, who can express all of the greatness, all of the strength of Hashem, who can make heard all of his praises? The Gemara tells a story, and the story is that there was a person who got up to daven before the Yomah to lead the prayers, and he started saying it, and he said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Aviseinu Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanayra. Right, our God of our father, God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the God who is great, who is mighty, who is awesome, ha'izuz, ha'adir, ha'this, ha'that, and it starts counting off all kinds of other praises. He was ad-libbing or whatever it was. He was going and putting in his own things. So when he was ready to go on, I think it was Rava said to him, "Oh, you finished? You're done?" Right? Siyamtinu l'kulei shvacha demarei alma. Have you finished with your praises? You know, with everything that Hashem has to be praised with? And he rebuked him. He says, you can't try. You can't even try to list the praises of Hashem. We say, Akil Agol, you were on there because Moshe Rabbeinu said it. And if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said it, and then the men of the great assembly locked it in as the text of our tefillah, we wouldn't even have the ability to say that. Because who can praise Hashem? Who can express all the praises of Hashem? And when we come to the Seder of Pesach, asked the Maral, we say, the more the better. The more you go and tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the more praiseworthy you are. We seem to cast away those inhibitions which Rava said we should have when it comes to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim.
It's a chiluk.
What's the difference?
Because in Misafir, you're talking about the story, but you're not giving specific adjectives to cut it.
Okay,
off.
Okay. So maybe that's the difference. The Maral says says a different approach. I bring it now. We'll try to get to it before we conclude today. But I bring it now because it's really that pasuk, the pasuk around which this sefer is titled, Gevurais Hashem, comes really from the inability. It's used in the context of the inability to really capture the greatness of Hashem. So let's learn here the Hagdama Rishayna, the first introduction of the Maharal to this Sefer. And we miss Rabbi Hartman very much, who has not yet published, not yet worked on or published this edition of his edition of the Gvuras Hashem. We will try our best. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't know if the Rav or Maharal is going to deal with this also, but just, I mean, and I don't know if the Maharal agrees with this, but the Rambam holds that the Shvach component of Tefillah is Deoraisa, and the Rambam also very much works with that Gemara. So, I mean, just if we have a Kliyu Deoraisa to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Tefillah, but yet we wouldn't have done it except if the Ashenek Atzah Gadola did it.
Right, great. Excellent. Excellent. If we're supposed to praise Hashem, but then we don't know how to praise Hashem, so how are we supposed to, how do we do it? So we need Moshe Rabbeinu's guidance. So we need the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah to put it in place.
Whose edition are you using?
I'm using this. I'm right now, Emir Tashem. So I hope to have later today Rabbi Lapiansky's version of the Gvuras Hashem. But it's not available. I even asked Rabbi Lapiansky, is there any way I could get a box, you know, of them? He said it's just not available. He said you have full permission to photocopy it and you have full permission to sponsor a reprint. but he said you have full permission to photocopy pages. I hope, Emir Tashem, to have a copy for myself. It's not even signed with mine. I haven't found one yet, but I have a copy on loan, Emir Tashem, which I hope to have later today and benefit from that. And, you know, if there's some way, I may also suggest I'll put in a request to Hebrew Books, which is on the internet, that they upload it. You know, they'll do that, they put it on, and then you'll be able to copy pages as you need them and use them. But right now I'm just using the classic, the modern typeset of the Gvuras Hashem, which is without footnotes whatsoever. Okay. Sorely missed. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. There's a verse in Mishlei which says, "Kvod Elokim hastir davar u'kvod Melachim chakar davar." The honor of Elokim, the honor of God, is hastir davar, is hidden, is when the matter is hidden. Kvod Melachim, the honor of the king, is chakar davar. Chakar davar is when the thing is exposed. Chakira is to discover and to unearth and to understand. That's a pasuk that seems to contrast the honor of Hashem being more hidden, the honor of kings being more open. However, the Medrash understands it not as a contrast between God and kings of flesh and blood, but as a contrast between two stages with HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. Rab Levi b'shem Rav Chama bar Chanina, and he says, "Mitchila sefer breishis ad vayechulu kvod Elokim haster davar, mikan ve'elach hakor davar." From the beginning of the Chumash, from Bereshis Bara Elokim until Vayechulu, until the conclusion of creation, we speak about the honor of Elokim, Haster Davar, is for things to be hidden. But from then on, the honor of the king is to be exposed. The honor of God is for it to be hidden, the honor of the king is for it to be exposed. So there's a period pre the conclusion of creation, and then there's the period post-creation itself. That's the contrast which the Medrash draws. There's parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world that we should be looking at, stages, and there are stages which are haster davar, which are to be hidden. There's a Gemara which I'm not exactly sure why the Maharal doesn't quote it. I don't think, maybe I glossed over it or missed it. He alludes to it, but he doesn't quote it explicitly. A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, really, where it speaks about a person is not supposed to look at certain things. And one of them is Malifanim. What was before? What preceded the world? There's a certain vision which we have, which is within the box of creation. We're not supposed to try to look before it, preceding creation. And this Medrash, understand that, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar, as saying, of course you want to look at Hashem's deeds and Hashem's creations, but not those that preceded the culmination of the creation of the world. That's something you have to be guarded about, that's something you have to be watchful of. Not so clear. Chakor davar, to explore, to use the language of Pesach, to be dairesh, Right? You know, in halacha we use those terms together, in the pasuk he uses the terms together. V'darashta v'chakarta. Right? You will explore, you will be choker, you will investigate. In halacha we refer to drisha v'chakira. When it comes to witnesses, the elements of examination are known as drisha and chakira. Right? Pesach, the mitzvah is to be dairesh. You're supposed to explore and expand upon the story of Ma'aser Yetzias Mitzrayim, but not on Ma'aser Bereishis. What the Medrash is saying, Ma'aser Bereishis, no; Yetzias Mitzrayim, yes. Okay, so the Maharal is going to take us into this to be able to understand it better. But this really, to get to it, this is setting the stage for Gvuras Hashem. Because what it's saying is that, you know, when we look at the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we always look at it in these two parallel tracks. For example, in the Aseres HaDibros, when we speak about Shabbos, we remember Hashem on Shabbos. In the first set of commandments, we say we remember that Hashem created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. In the second version of the Aseret HaDibros, in Va'eschanan, where Moshe Rabbeinu is repeating over the Torah, it says, remember that we were in Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out from there. Ma'aser Bereishis Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, so we know things about this parallel. We know, for instance, how the Ramban explains that, well, we didn't observe Hashem creating the world, but we did observe Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim. From seeing Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim, that teaches us that He must have been the creator of the world. Right? So we learn from one to the other. But here, Chazal are also telling you something else, which is that Ma'aser Bereishis, you can't really talk about. What happened until Hashem completed creation, Kvod Elokim Aster Davar, it's not something to discuss. There's no time or date when we sit and we say, okay, now we're going to have a Seder and we're going to discuss Hashem's creation. In fact, Chazal tell us to some degree the opposite. Ein darshin b'masa bereshis. One of the things that you don't, you're not doresh, again, magic word, that you're not doresh, that you don't expound upon, is the story of creation. You're cautious when you look at the story, when you learn and look at the story of creation. However, when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Cholam Arba L'Saper. That's post-creation. So when we speak about Mi Emale El Gevurah Hashem, about the mitzvah of Pesach, which is to be Memale El Gevurah Hashem, to go and speak about the greatness of Hashem, the important thing to note is that that's really, in a certain sense, a beginning of that. Of course, you can do it when Hashem finished creating the world. But the time where Hashem really came out on display, after that, to see His actions, was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, why is this? What's the idea behind this, that the story of Bereishis is hidden, while as the story of now is exposed? And the Maharal explains this using an idea which some of you may recall we actually learned in the Maharal, he never expresses the idea exactly the same way in both places, but we learned about it in the latter portions of the Tiferes Yisrael of the Maharal, because the Maharal discusses it there. And the Maharal is discussing there and is discussing here, as a way of approaching this point, a classic question which was asked hundreds of years before the Maharal, and that is the following. A cornerstone of belief of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, is that there's such a thing called Olam Haba. There's such a thing called the world to come. And in fact, to a certain degree, we can only make sense of this world if we understand that there's such a thing as the Olam Haba, as a world to come. That this world is just an anteroom, just a foyer, just an entryway, a prose door, as it's Rav Yaakov said in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, before the Olam Haba. Because then you understand, okay, look, you know, the real world of reward and punishment is not here. So then all the things we see around us, which are so difficult and so confusing, bad things happening to good people and so on and so forth, we understand, well, this world is not really the world of reward. There's a world to come that's the real place. That's where the real world of reward. And therefore, understand that that's not what Olam HaZeh is about. It's a cornerstone and a foundation of our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of the beliefs of Torah. So show me the pasuk in the Torah that explains that to us. Where? Where in the Torah does it say that? Nowhere. It doesn't speak about El Mabo in the Torah that we can notice. Oh, sure. It says, Kaved Asavicha Vesimecha, L'man Yarichon Yomecha, L'man Yitavach. Honor your father and your mother so you'll have long life. Shalech the Shalach Esayim V'Esabanim Tichalach, send away the mother bird and take the children, L'man Yitavach V'Arach L'Yom, so you'll have good and long days. So we say, you should know that that's referring to El Mabo. But that's not what it says. It says you should have a long days. And many people read the pasuk and said, okay, so we'll have a long life. And then they looked at that child, Nebuch, right, who went by his father's bidding to get him some fresh eggs and climbed the ladder to take the eggs, to send away the mother and take the eggs, and then tripped on the way down and died. And we said, 1 second, I thought those mitzvahs are supposed to give you long life. So the Gemara said, well, had Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, who saw that perhaps, understood the pasuk like Rav Yaakov, like Barbarte, like his descendant of Yaakov, had he understood it that way, that it's referring to Olam Haba, then he wouldn't have given up the faith. He would have understood there was an Olam Haba. But the Pasuk hides it. The Pasuk hints to it. Why? Why? You've heard this question before. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It's a classic question, and a very serious, obviously an extremely serious question. So the Maral has an approach to this question. Maral has an approach to this question, which we're going to explain in Yirat Hashem momentarily. Interestingly, in certain ways, the Maral's approach is not only different, but as we'll see, the Maral, even to such a great part of his approach, is in fact the opposite of the approach of the Ramban to this question. The Ramban addresses this question. The Rambam addresses this question. The Rambam's approach is not expressed like the Maharal's, but it's pretty similar to the Maharal's. Conceptually, it's similar. Now, the Maharal takes it, expresses it in a much Rambam expresses it in a very straightforward way. Maharal expresses it deeper. The Ramban says that the reason is, in a certain sense, because it goes without saying. Believe it or not, says the Ramban, the idea is because it goes without saying. And he says, because the spirit, as it exists in this world, should of course naturally not be terminated or subsumed by death. The neshama, when we look at it, when we read in the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into a person a divine neshama, well, Hashem, we don't look at Hashem's physical life as a starting point, as an ending point, as a location. Hashem's there, and the neshama which is in a person is also there. It's there before and after the beginnings and ends of mortal life. And so, in a certain sense, it goes without saying. Well, says the Ramban, the truth is it doesn't go without saying completely. The pasuk does speak about it. Why? Because the Torah says something called kores. What's kores? A punishment of kores. Says our kores means that the soul is terminated, which means absent the soul being terminated, not life on this earth being terminated, but the soul is terminated. Absent the soul being terminated, it would continue, and that's the natural thing. The Torah has to tell you, you know, if you do mitzvahs, it's going to rain. You know, at the right time, you'll have health, because that's a chiddush. There's something new about that. But that the soul is immortal, that goes without saying. That's the Ramban's approach. So we're not here today to learn the Ramban. You'll see Mirat Hashem a little bit later as we learn the Maral, a contrast to this thinking of the Ramban. But that's where the Ramban's approach. The Rambam speaks more about the idea that there has to be, you know, when you try to speak to somebody and motivate somebody, you speak to them about the things which they can already have an appreciation of. You speak to them in certain real terms. And therefore, maybe that's why the Torah emphasizes more these matters, you know, in its discussions. There are different places where the Rambam seems to touch upon this. The Maral speaks about this idea of the Rambam, but without quoting the Rambam, and really says it in a very different and deeper way. Maral says as follows. He says, Torah is conveyed, Torah is conveyed with nevuah, with prophecy. Prophecy is visualization. A Navi sees, he's called a roeh, one who visualizes, a chozeh. Again, a different term. I can't come up with the, I don't have my thesaurus with me, I can't come up with the a seer, right? S-E-E-R, right? Nothing to do with energy ratings, right? But you know, a person who's able to visualize, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Navi itself may not even mean that. Right? According to Rashi, the word Navi really has more to speak about Niv Sfasayim, about the words which he says. But it's clear that the concept or the Nevuah comes with, to some degree, a visualization. A visualization of Hashem Yisbarach or something like that, or of his, or of his, or of his angels. The Navi sees. So if the Navi sees, what the Navi is going to be able to appreciate, to discuss, has to be something that he's able to see. We can sit here as, so to speak, quote unquote, excuse the thing, as chachamim, as wise guys, as sages, as people who are studying and trying to become wise and intelligent and smart. We could talk about all kinds of things, conceptualize about all kinds of things, and the sky isn't even the limit, because to talk about things, to speak abstractly about things, you can speak abstractly about anything that you can somehow conceptually imagine. There's no limits, but Nevuah is visualization. Nevuah is visualization, and of course, as visualization, in certain ways, it has much greater strength than wisdom, which is abstraction. The Navi sees. The Navi sees. The Chacham, he, so to speak, excuse the expression, he plays around. But on the other hand, because the Navi sees, the purview of Nevuah is limited to something that you have the capacity, even with Nevuah, to be able to see. Whereas the Chacham, in his world of abstraction, can go way beyond. The Maharal uses this idea to explain what the Gemara says in Bava Basra, that Chacham Odif Minavi, that a wise man is greater than a prophet. Right? The Gemara there describes that there came a period where Hashem stopped prophecy, or the mainstream of prophecy. And now what's taken over is the Chachamim, the sages take over. We don't have prophets anymore, now we have sages. And the Gemara says there's a pasuk, V'navi levav chachma, minit lebimi, katanit lebegadol. The Gemara makes a drasha, whatever, beyond the scope of our discussion, that the Chacham is greater than the Navi. Now, you hear that, you say, what do you mean the Chacham is greater than the Navi? Greater than the Navi? Isn't the loss of prophecy a major downgrade for the Jewish people? How do we say Chacham is greater than the Navi? So, of course, there's an aspect. You have to say there's an aspect in which the Chacham is greater than the Navi. Explains the Maharal, the aspect in which the Chacham is greater than the Navi is because the Navi is going to be limited. He's going to be limited by what he can see. The Chacham has no such limitations. For the Chacham, the sky is the limit. Right? Others will express it in different ways. The Navi is limited by what he's told. The Chacham can do it on his own. Rav Hutner used to express it this way, a very beautiful way of expression. The Navi only hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's speaking to him. The Chacham thinks about what Hashem would say and hears Hashem, therefore, even when Hashem isn't actively speaking to him. A beautiful way of expressing it. But the way the Maharal expresses it is that there are certain matters where Nevuah can't go because you can't visualize those matters, but where the abstraction of Chachma can take you. What's Exhibit A on that? Is what the Gemara says, Olam Haba. The Gemara says, Kol HaNaviim Lo Nisnabu Elo L'Yemais HaMashiach. All the prophets, they prophesized, and when they had all these beautiful visions, that was for the period which we call Messianic times. But Olam Haba, the world to come, which is another world, Ayin Leirasa Elokim Zulasecha Yasa Lemechakelai. No eye ever beheld that other than yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nevi'im couldn't prophesize about that. So the Maral explains, using this idea, the Navi still, bottom line, has to be able to visualize. To visualize requires some, what you would say in Yiddish, shtelling zu, you know, which means some relating. You have to relate to it to some way. Yemais HaMashiach, the days of Mashiach, is when this world as we have it is improved dramatically. Everything works nicely. Aggression is removed. Blessing is showered upon us. But it's in the terms of this world. So it's a much better version of this world. The Navi can visualize that. But the other world, that's not this world but better. It's a completely different animal. It's a completely different thing. And the eyes of the Navi as a human being, the visualization capacity of the Navi as a human being, can't bridge that gap. An imagination might be able to. We could talk about it. We could talk about it philosophically, what it might be, what it might look like. But visualize it, we can't. To visualize it, we can't. And the Maral says a zinger of a line here, which is very, very chashuv, very important. The premise that actually, I don't know if you would call it the premise or the consequence of this, but a premise which is established as a result of this. Listen to what he says. Ilu haya divrei Torah. This is in the first paragraph. If the words of Torah would be k'may melech basar v'adam shumazres avadu shleyavru esavu asay. If Torah was like a bunch of words that Hashem was warning his servants and saying, I'm telling you, this is what you have to do, and don't ignore me, or else, v'oz yisku l'schar atev shum avtiach esam, and if they do it, they'll merit the great rewards that he's promising them. Oz be'ein safek haya nizkar hayud atev alam abo v'gan Eden. Without question, Hashem would say, I'm telling you, you got to do this. And if you do it, oh, I promise you wonderful things in this coming world. And he would tell him also about heaven forbid the negative side. But he says that's not Torah. Torah is not Hashem speaking to us and conveying to us instructions and promises. Torah is, okay, and you can try to translate these words as well as I, it's the words of the living God through the Navi, through the prophet. In other words, the prophet is not giving over Hashem's word second hand. In a certain sense, the prophet has to be able to be saying it himself. That's why the words of the Torah require the Navi to see it. For him to be the mouthpiece for Hashem, he's got to see it. So the things which the Navi can't see himself, he cannot convey. The original words of the Torah are the words of the Navi as if he's speaking for Hashem. If the Navi was just handing over again second-hand instructions, you don't have to see it to be able to say it. But if he's speaking as Hashem, Divrei Elokim Chayim Biyad HaNavi, he can only do it to the extent that he sees what he's talking about. That's the original giving of the Torah. And therefore, when it's out of reach of the Navi, he can't do it. Those parts of what Hashem would convey that the Navi could see, he can function as the Navi of. But otherwise he can't. So as long as Torah was being given by Nevi'im who are speaking explicitly as the mouthpiece of Hashem, Olam HaVa can't be discussed. But then the period of Nevuah ends and the Chachamim start. And they're not claiming to speak as the mouthpiece of Hashem in the same way. Then Olam HaVa can be discussed. I mean, Olam HaVa could always be discussed in the realm of Chachamim. There were Chachamim in the times of Nevuah also. Not like it was something that the Chachamim of later times invented. But it's not part of the Nevuah discussion. Because you can't visualize it. Because it's beyond. in that sense.
Doesn't lock out the Nevi'im, though. We can do Nevi'im or the Farmer.
No, it doesn't lock out Nevi'im functioning as Chachamim. But it locks out Nevi'im functioning as Nevi'im. And our question is, why does the Torah, which is the Divrei Nevuah, not discuss it? And there we say, because as Nevuah, it can't be seen, and therefore it can't be discussed.
How can you say that the Torah is not instructions and consequences? I mean, you can read the Shema and you can see that.
Of course it's instructions and consequences. But it's not simply a listing. It's not conveyed as a listing of instructions and consequences, which could just be parroted what somebody else said. The way Hashem conveyed to us the Torah was through the Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im weren't just parrots of words. The Nevi'im assumed the place of Hashem in conveying it to us. You understand what I'm saying? Of course it's instructions, and of course it's promises, and of course it's warnings. All of those things are there. And therefore you could have just taken it that this is a list of instructions and warnings that anybody could convey. But that's not the original conveyance of the Torah. The original conveyance of the Torah was that all of it together is the Navi conveying the word of Hashem as his own.
Would you say a better way of saying would be if the Torah would be more than instructions?
It's more than instructions, absolutely. Absolutely. It's Divrei Elokim Chayim Biyad HaNavi. It's like the word of God in the hands of the prophets. And we have our limitations. The prophets had their limitations in what they were able to convey in that regard. Says the Maharal, just to follow through to where we are, he says, therefore, really, a person's hasaga, to be able to really, really appreciate something, is going to be limited by something to the extent to which he can connect to it, and that's why we're very cautious not only about the Olam Haba, the world that comes after this world. We're also cautious about the world that comes before this world. And the Sheishes Yimei Bereishis, the 6 days of creation, are functioning in a realm before the world as we know it. We came into the completed world. In the completed world, Adam was the last creation. Right? So when he opened his eyes and he looked around, he was looking at the completed world. To that he could see. To that he could relate. To go before is to go into a different realm. Now, you'll say, but 1 second, you said a chacham can go any place. It's true. A chacham can go any place. But you know that the chacham who's abstracting about something which is completely beyond what he's able to visualize is playing also in much more tricky waters. So therefore, Kvayd Elokim Haster Davar, until Vayechulu, for the first stages of creation, we're dealing with the hand of Hashem, which man was never given the chance to see. It was hidden from the eyes of man. And so, even if we're going to talk about it or discuss it, we're not going to say, let's sit down at the table, and we're going to have our bub on him, we're going to have our smart son, our wise son, and our evil son, and our simple son, and our completely, you know, Eina Yedei Elisho son, and we're going to sit there, and we're going to talk about this as much as we can. You can't do that. You can't do that about Ma'aseh Bereishis. Because Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem never granted us the opportunity to see. You can't even really do it about Olam Haba. When people try speaking to children about Olam Haba, what do they speak to them about Olam Haba? It's like having box seats for the Ravens game. Right? Having the most delicious, imagine the most delicious ice cream you could ever have imagine. What do they end up doing? They end up painting Olam Haba as Olam Hazeh, as the best of this world, better than anything you could imagine in this world. But that's not Olam Haba. Olam Haba is something beyond this world's experience. It's not this world at its best. It's not Hawaii. Never been there. You what?
It's impossible to get Sachar from Mitzvah in Olam Hazeh. It's not a different game.
It's possible. Yeah, but maybe. In all answers, if you say Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Alma, yeah, it could be. But again, it's so different. It's such a different, realm. So Ad Kan Til Vayichu Kvod Elokim Haster Dover. It's not simple things to speak about. But when you get to Vayichulu, when you get to the world as you know it, then the opposite is the case. Kvod Melachim Chakor Dover. Hashem exposes Himself to the world. There's a world, and we're supposed to try to see the presence of Hashem within the world, then to explore, to uncover, the more the merrier. And especially when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Himself on display in a stage of Yetzias Mitzrayim to people, human beings, where they are, where we are, and He puts His hand into the course of nature. That's where we say Chakar Davar, the great honor of the king, is to show it, is to expose it. Void Melachim Chakar Davar. I'll just tell you one thing here, and this is part of why it's fitting to learn the first parak of the Maral, what I've been before, together with this Hakdama. Rav Huttner, who you know, was the Talmud of the Maral. Right, Rav Huttner, his thought is built primarily around the Maral. Others too, but primarily around the Maral. He called his Kailo, Gurarye, built on the Maral. Here, the Rav Huttner just argues a different approach than the Maral to the question the Maral asks. And it's unusual. He doesn't usually do that, but he does it. If you look in the Pachad Yitzchak, Mamar Tez Zayin, the 16th essay, it's very short, on Pesach. So he brings the Maral's question. Maral's question is, it says, as we said before, it says, who's able to speak of Guras Hashem? How dare you, so to speak, right? The guy who tries to go on and on, we say, you can't even try. So he says, but yet on Pesach we say the more the merrier. Like, what's going on? So Maral has his approach to the question. Well, Futner's approach to the question is, he says, I don't think you have to say the Maral's approach. He says, you could say Avada, it's praising Hashem. Maral says basically that it's not the praise of Hashem. It's not the praise of Hashem. The night of the Seder, it's thanks of Hashem. Thanks to Hashem. Whatever, we'll talk about Mirat Hashem. But what Rav Huttner says is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's putting on a show for humankind, for people to see His greatness, which is what Yetzias Mitzrayim was. Right? In fact, Hispoir Olai, Moshe Rabbeinu said, make my day, right? Let me try to show you Hashem's glory. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look in the Pesukim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as I'm saying this in order, Leman Tesaper, Ba'aznei Bincha, Ben Bincha. You got to do it. I'm saying this so you should be talking about it. That's quite Malachim Chakor Davar. That's where Hashem exposed Himself to us in a way we could see, in a way we could relate to, so we could discuss it. So then our job is to discuss it. The honor of the king is to bring it out and to extrapolate and to talk about it and to bring out every aspect and nuance, when that's what he's trying to do. Well, that's what the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim was an invitation to do, to speak about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the core idea here, which the Maral says. Now, he puts in something else. Okay, questions, comments, just before we go on? Questions, comments? Yeah?
To what world is Olam Haba the Maral referring to? He's referring to whenever it says Olam Haba.
So whether it's talking about the Olam of souls, or whether it's talking about the world after Tchiyas HaMeisim, where the world's completely remade, one or the other. Yeah.
And also, if Maaseh Bereishis wasn't something we can't really comprehend, so to borrow Rashi's question, so why begin the Torah from there? Why does the Torah start from there? If we can't really be darshaning it anyway, and we don't really have any hasaga what it was like, what it means.
We do have Derech Chachma. There is such a thing as learning Maaseh Bereishis. But there's a limit on how Maaseh Bereishis is learned. We'll talk about it a little bit more, Mi'at Hashem, as we go along. The Maral, just for full disclosure, and I want to highlight what I mentioned before, that in a certain sense the Maral goes the opposite way of the Rambam. What I just told you was what the Maral says that's relevant for us. The reason why he brings in this discussion about the question of why talk about Olam Haba was for this purpose. But the Maral goes on and he says something else. He says it could be that the reason why the Torah doesn't speak about Olam Haba is because the Torah speaks about things which come naturally, not things which, so to speak, happen to come. Now, the term happen to come, the mikra, what he's saying is that when you're looking within the framework of this world, the Torah wants to speak about what naturally grows within the framework of this world. The Torah is not going to speak about things of another world, which, okay, maybe it'll exist, maybe it won't exist. Okay, I'll tell you there's such a thing as an Olam Haba, but that's some degree out of the box. And he says that the idea that Torah gives the person life, arichus yamim, long life, that Torah gives the person goodness and everything else, that's inherent in the nature of the world. And that's why the Torah speaks of it as the natural consequence. Whereas Olam Haba, you know, that's a whole other arena. That's somehow a different box. The Torah doesn't speak to that. You see that that's mamish the inverse of the Ramban. The Ramban says Olam Haba is natural. That the soul should be eternal is natural. That it should reign when you do mitzvahs, that's a chiddush, that's a ness. Right? The Maral says Olam Haba, it's something else. You know, like, who said? Who says? You know, but that this world is enhanced by the person's connection to Torah, that's natural. It's mamish the inverse of the Ramban. Okay, but it's not for us right now to dwell on. Okay, so this is the core concept which Maral says here in explaining this, which is that after the world exists, that's the world that our eyes can apprehend, that's the world for us to discuss. And so Yetzias Mitzrayim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really putting it on display, is what we're really supposed to expound upon and to discuss. Maral continues, and he says as follows. He says that in the Gemara in Chagiga, in the Mishnah in Chagiga, and again, this is also, by the way, something we learned in this concept. Is also something which the Maral discusses. This he discusses in the Be'er HaGoyla. I think in the Be'er HaShishi of the Be'er HaGoyla, if I'm not mistaken. He says as follows. The Mishnah says in Chagiga as follows. Ein darshan ba'arayis b'shloisha, v'loi b'masa b'reishis b'shnayim, v'loi b'merkava liyochid. In Chagiga, it teaches about certain things that you're not supposed to teach as freely as other things. And what's that? You don't teach about arayas, forbidden relationships, with three people, with three students, maximum two. You don't speak about masa bereishis to two people, only to one. And you don't speak about maisa merkava, which is the chariot of God, Yecheskel chapter 1 that we read as the Haftorah on Yom Kippur, the most esoteric of prophecies that we have recorded, not even to one person, unless the person is wise and understands things himself. That's what the Mishnah says. So what's it talking about? What's it saying? So Maral has a beautiful approach to this, and he says as follows. Maisa Merkava is about Hashem himself. Hashem himself, he explains it by explaining the mechanics of a Merkava, of a chariot, where the rider is separate from the wagon that he's, or the horse that he's riding and directing. But whether you use that imagery or that language or not, we understand Maisa Merkava was the visualization Yecheskel had of Hashem himself. The visualization Hashem had of Hashem himself. Masa Bereishis is Hashem's bringing the world into existence, its creation. Right? The act of creation, bringing the world into existence. Once the world exists, then what happens from then on? What happens from then on is ordering and arranging the various pieces, bringing together and moving them around. Stage one is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alone. You don't teach that to anybody. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alone, you to some degree, the forum for learning it is you alone. Stage number two is creation, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing something into existence. It's still remote, but already there's a Borei and a Nivra, there's a creator and a createe, a created creation. And that's the one, that's, you share it with one. But then once there's a creation, it's out there. And then the issue is the mixing and matching of things in creation. Remember that Chazal, which we've learned about also in the Torah HaMaral, in Be'er HaGoyla, I think Be'er Revi. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing since he finished creating? Since the end of Ma'aseh Bereishis, he sits and he's Mezaveg Zivugim. He sits and he makes Shiduchim. Right? Making Shiduchim is a very time consuming process, a lot of phone calls. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very busy with that. What does that mean? He's sitting and he's making Shiduchim since Bereishis. But the idea is, once you've created the components, now the job of the king, right? A king is not a creator. Right? We had before the language of Chazal, Elohim versus Malachim. So again, simply you read that pasuk, God versus kings. But the Medrash said, no, it's talking about two stages of God. There's the stage of God as Bereishis Bara Elohim, as the creator. And then there's the stage where God functions like a king. A king doesn't create. A king orders his creation. A king orders, excuse me, his kingdom. Makes the various component parts work together. He's involved in Seder. That's what we're saying. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished creating, now he's involved in putting things together in Seder. Arayus. You understand that Arayus, which is forbidden relationships, is the flip side, the other side of the coin of sitting and putting together couples. So the way the Maharal explains these three stages is, one is God alone, then God in the process of creation, and then the world as it exists, and talking about how these things come together. And there already, you teach it to two, because there you're talking about relations of different things. But you don't teach it to three, because, well, the Gemara says, when it's speaking about it simply, about not interpreting with Arayus, because then you could be busy talking, this one student can get the teacher's attention, and then the other two are going to get into a conversation and try to figure things out themselves. But if there's only two students, so then when one student has a question and interacts with the teacher, the other student has no choice but to listen. Right? So in order to make sure that even these matches are being taught properly, so with two. But these are the three elements. With Maharal, is very elegant to me, the way he sets it up, the way he understands these three levels of teaching that are there in the Mishnah, and says that it's the same way that it was with the Rabbeinu Shlalem. That's the way we see it ourselves in terms of how we're supposed to discuss it. But he says that's where we get to the notion of Kvaid Malachim Chakor Davar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen when he's there as the Melech. The Melech is only a king when he has a nation, when he has people who he can conduct and arrange and do things for. And it is there in the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his acts in creation that we begin to talk about him and to praise him. Hashem's acts of providence within the world, of moving things around and making things happen, that's where our discussion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts. And you would say, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's not a lot of exploration or discovery to do. And it's true. It's true. Was there a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim? When the Jewish people sat and ate the first Korban Pesach at the first Seder, it was a short Seder. There was nothing to discuss. They just looked out the window, right? Or they couldn't look out the window. They had to keep the windows closed, right? But they were experiencing it. When you're experiencing it, you don't have to sit and talk about it. But when it's later and it's in the past, we have to drum up Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to drum up the memories of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want to tell you a vort. Maybe you'll remember it for Pesach. That's, by the way, to be said about every single thing that we're going to learn on Sunday mornings from now on. Okay, but I'll tell you just a machshav. It's not from the Maharal. I have this kasha. I never found anybody who asked the kasha. I'm sure somebody asked the kasha, but I think it's a very good kasha. What's the kasha? Matzah is the lechem she'einim olav dvarim harbe. Matzah is the bread that you're supposed to discuss things over. You know, we say in the Seder, you say bavur zeh, because of this, b'shoshi yesh matzah umor munachim lefanech, when the matzah umor is sitting in front of you, then you speak, say the Haggadah. Hey, we're constantly uncovering the matzahs, you know, to say the Haggadah over the matzah. Hey, when we start the Haggadah, the first thing we say is, here's the bread, here's the lechem oini, here's the mitzvah, we're going to talk about it. One problem. What's the problem? Problem is that right before you do the Haggadah, you break the matzah in two. Now, part of that is beautiful. That's exactly why, because lach ma'anya is supposed to be the bread of poverty. Bread of poverty is broken pieces. Right? The poor people get the scraps. So it's scraps. It's presented as scraps. But we also break it in two. You know why? Because we take one piece and we put it away. It's called tzofun. Right? Afikayman, tzofun. It's hidden away. We put it away for later, for the afikayman. We don't say a stitch of Haggadah over that matzah. In fact, we don't even say a word over that matzah. We take it out at the end of the meal and we eat it right away. We don't even like say, okay, we'll take it out and we'll say the last halal over it. No, we take it, we eat it, and we bench. You didn't say a word of Haggadah over that matzah. You put it away before you started, and you took it out after you pretty much finished. You took it out to eat and run, or eat and sing. What about that? And it's especially, the question is compounded when you know that the shita of Rashi and the Rashbam is that the ikar mitzvah of matzah is fulfilled by that matzah. So what's pshat? It's a good question, no? I've never found anybody who asked the question. If somebody finds it, I'll be very happy. I'll tell you what I think. I don't know if it's a... I think, you know, probably to some degree, a halachic answer is, Einim Olav, saying it about it is not necessarily there has to be actually, you know, it's enough Einim Olav. When you take it and you put it away and everybody's mindful about it and they know they put it away, it's enough. So it's not a halachic problem, but it's still a halachic, it's still a curiosity. I think the pshat is like this. By the time you get up to eating the afikayman, you are already, it's already alive. And it's like when we were in Mitzrayim. When in Mitzrayim, you didn't have to talk about it. In the beginning of the Seder, you're coming from 2 weeks of cleaning, or 6 months of cleaning. You're generating the story. So at that point, you have to talk about it in order to bring it to life. By the time you get to the end, it's alive. By the time you get to the end, it's alive. You don't have to explain it anymore. You have a question what this matzah is about?
Yeah.
Anybody have a question what this matzah is about? Mm-hmm. Right? Now it's alive. Now it's already, it's self-explanatory. You bring it out, you say, wow, that's what it is. And that's, in a great sense, that's the value of Yimala of Wurzeh. That's why we speak of being Dairish. In Pesach, you didn't have to be Dairish. Hashem was putting it on display. But now, where Pesach is a distant memory, we have to be Dairish to bring it back to life. That's the Parakalif. That's the Hakdama Rishayna. Just as we said, we were just going to follow through with the Maral, and I already alluded to what he said, to Perak Aleph. So Maral says, but we're usually reticent and hesitant to speak about the greatness of Hashem. Says the Maharal that on the night of the Seder, it's not just to praise Hashem, it's to express gratitude to Hashem. And right, and look at the Rambam's Loshon in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, right there, that part of the mitzvah is Lahaydais, to to give thanks to Hashem. And Leidos Seder is not just talking about Hashem, it's thanking Hashem. It's personal. And he says, when it comes to thank yous, you thank as much as you can. You say you didn't thank for everything, you didn't thank for everything. Big deal. Right? But because you can't thank for everything, you're not going to begin expressing gratitude. I can't thank you enough, so I won't bother to start. To praise is to describe. How could you describe something when by your description you could be minimizing? But there's an impetus of gratitude that a person just can't ignore. There's an impetus of gratitude that a person just can't ignore. As Mordechai pointed out before, there's also an impetus of praise, which we have. We have a notion we're supposed to be mishabeach. Right? L'fichach anachnu chayavim. Right? There's also l'shabeach. Right? And shekein chayvas kol ha'yitzur. We have an obligation to praise, not just to thank. So thank God. As praise, we have to have a text. Baruch Hashem Tov Moshe Rabbeinu and Anshei Knesset Gedolah provide us with a praise. But otherwise we would suffer both qualitatively and quantitatively in being able to praise Hashem. But now to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can begin. So Mi'at Hashem will dwell more on these subjects later. That's Hakdama Rishayna, and that's Perek Aleph. And Bezal Hashem, hopefully as we go along, we will develop a greater and broader appreciation of Givurei Hashem.
How does Rav Putner answer that Gemara then, if it's not built on praise? I mean, on thanks? It's on thanks, you could say the Gemara.
Because he says, Stamazai, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to watch your limitation. You have to have a version to be able to do that.
But
Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm doing this so you should. I'm doing this so you should praise me. So go ahead. License is granted.
In your library, you have Genesis and the Big Bang, which is exactly.